Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, and we're going to read through verse 8 this morning. Today's message is going to concern four areas in our Christian life that, you know what, each one of us Christians deal with these four areas in our life. We come across each one of these areas in our Christian life, hopefully, and the last area we're going to talk about is service. And just to let you know, and that is, I would say that's the point of this message today. The last point is service, because we're not going to get to that area in our life until we first come across these first three areas. I don't believe we're going to be effective in service unless we come across these first three areas we're going to talk about today. But and this is relating to Isaiah. In this passage here, we're going to relate our Christian lives to what Isaiah experiences here in chapter 6. And so before we get started, let me pray and ask God to bless it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that we can call you our Father, that we as Christians know you as Father through your Son, Jesus, and through his salvation. And we thank you for that. We praise you for the day of our salvation, the day that we were reached, Father, and each one of us have a testimony. We thank you for our testimony. And we pray that you bless now this morning's service. Bless the preaching of your word, Father. Hide me, Father, and just I pray that you'd speak through me, Father, through your word this morning to hearts. I know that people came today to hear from you, Father, and from your word, not from me. And I pray that you'd please bless now and use me as your vessel and fill me with your power in your name. Amen. And Isaiah chapter 6, in verse 1, we'll begin reading. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me! For I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord, saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And we'll begin in the message now. So this passage that we're reading here, we read about in verse 1 how he begins to see this vision. And it's interesting that he saw it the year that King Uzziah died. And it must have been a grief for him to hear the news of the death of King Uzziah. And Uzziah was, for the most part of his life, a godly king until he trespassed, until he entered upon the priest's office and trespassed. But most of his reign was godly, and he was looked up to, and it was, the kingdom was struggling between kings to find a godly king. They were having wicked kings, and then they would have a godly king. And this is one of the godly kings for the most part, Uzziah. But he died, and I'm sure Isaiah faced a great grief that year. But that was the same year that he saw this vision. And you know, it's during those times that God will meet with us whenever we're at our lowest, and whenever we're going through periods of time in our life when we're struggling. Maybe we're struggling with grief, or maybe it's in other areas, but God shows up. And it's during those times when we're sensitive to God. And he sees the vision of God, and he sees the seraphims. He sees these two seraphims that were circling the throne of God. He sees God on his throne. He sees the temple filled with God's robe, with his train. He sees the temple filled with smoke. And he hears the voice of one of the seraphims crying, such a loud voice, saying, Holy, holy, holy. And the posts of the door he saw were moved at the violence of that voice. And the whole place shook at that voice. And everything that he saw and heard, it moved him to say in verse 5, Woe is me. And so the first area we're going to talk about this morning is this area of humility. And Isaiah was humbled at this point in his life. Whenever he saw this vision, Isaiah was certainly humbled. And were we not humbled? at salvation, each one of us that had to come to the realization that as sinners, we don't deserve heaven. I remember when before I got saved, I thought if my good outweighed my bad, I'd get to heaven. And that was before anybody ever spoke to me the gospel. That was just my idea of it. And, you know, you'll speak to a lot of people, and they'll say about the same thing that, you know, if you ask them, are you sure you're going to heaven? They would tell you, well, I'm not sure. You know, I'm trying my best. And that's how I was. But it wasn't until I was 18 when I was saved, and someone had passed along a tract to me, and I had it with me, and I had a Bible. Our family was used to be Christian at one point in time, but parents dropped off from going to church, and I wasn't raised in a Christian home. But I didn't have the gospel until I was 18. I heard it from a stranger. But it struck me at salvation that the fact that I was a sinner and I deserved hell, and you could say with me the same thing that Isaiah said, woe is me. We realized our lost condition, and we realized the consequence of our lost condition in a devil's hell, in a hell forever, in burning fire. And you know what? That was a terror to me. Just at the point of the day when I realized I deserved that, you know, if I had died in a moment, I would be in the middle of hell. And the Bible says that the lowest hell, and every time I come across that verse, it says, thou hast saved me from the lowest hell. And that's what I think about. I think about if it weren't for the Lord in my life coming and reaching down, you know what, I would be in the lowest hell. That would be my home. But thank the Lord he saved me. Thank the Lord he saved you if you're saved today. But you know what, that experience for you and for us was humbling, was it not? Where we had to come to the same point where Isaiah realized who he was. In the light of who God is, he realized who he was. And God is so holy. He loves us, but he is so holy. The Bible says here the seraphim cried, holy, holy, holy. And you know what? God is so holy that he can't let sin into heaven. And if he were to let sin into heaven, heaven would be defiled. It would be polluted with our sin. But he can't let sin into heaven. And that's the bottom line. And that's why we deserve hell. But the Lord, he reached down and he saved me. Jesus Christ, he died on the cross for my sins. He died on the cross for your sins. And every one of our sins was placed on Jesus on the cross. And at the point of the cross where all our sins were placed on him, we were judged at the cross. Our sins were judged at the cross. Instead of us going and dying and paying and being judged for our own sins in hell, Jesus was judged for our sins on the cross. It wasn't his sins he was judged for. It was our sins. And he paid the price for our sins. And he not only died on the cross and paid for our sins, but rose again. And now he offers us eternal life to us. And all who will come, for whosoever. And if we call upon the name of the Lord, he will save us. And that's what I did when I was 18, and I was humbled. And looking back on that, not only humbled, but thankful. I'm thankful for the day that I got saved, that every time I get to share my testimony with somebody, the day that I got saved, it warms my heart. And I'm so thankful. And I'm sure you are too. But you know, that is the first area I wanted to talk about this morning, the humbling. Here of Isaiah, when he saw this vision, but also relating it to us at salvation, when we were humbled. And we're thankful now, aren't we? But I believe that this is the first area because anything after this, you know, is just coming out of this. You know what? Anything you're going to do for the Lord in this life is out of thankfulness and love for what he did for you. And so that's the first area here. And then the second area we're going to talk about this morning is the purging or the cleansing of the prophet here, preparing him to be God's messenger. And he was a prophet. God called him to be a prophet, and he was to preach to the people, to tell them to return to the Lord and to forsake their sin and turn back to the Lord. And that was his job. But he himself had to be cleansed. He himself had to be purged. And he remarked in verse 5 that he had unclean lips. In verse 6, the solution to that arrives. It says, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin purged. And God wanted to use Isaiah. First he was humbled, and then God began to prepare him to use him because he first had to remove this area. He said, I am a man of unclean lips, and God had to go to work. And he laid it upon his mouth, the Bible says. And, you know, let's relate this to our lives. After we get saved, we realize that, you know what, we're saved, we're on our way to heaven, nothing can change. You know, we can't lose our salvation. But then after that, God wants to do some work in us because he wants to change us to make us more like him so that he can use us because we're going in his name. Whenever we go out there as his messenger to the lost and dying world, we're going in his name. We're not going in our name. And so the Bible says that he leadeth us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And if we were to go out there in our own in his name with you know all the sins attached to us after we get saved that need to go, if we were to go out there and in our own flesh and in the way of life we were before we were saved, after we get saved, if we were to go out there like that, people would be questioning. Because they want to see a difference in us. They don't want to see somebody just like them. They want to see that God is real in our lives, that he is so real that he made a difference in our lives. And after I got saved, I knew there was a lot of areas in my life, including the tongue, like here Isaiah struggled with. I'm a man of unclean lips. And there was things that I was saying to people, and the words that I would choose to say sometimes were filthy. They were wrong. And I wasn't saved until I was 18. And you know what? God had to go to work and change those areas in my life. And he wanted to use me, but he first had to go to work and begin removing areas in my life. And he showed me some areas that needed to change immediately. And you know what? There was a struggle for a time. Whenever I didn't give God those areas, and I refused to let God have his way in those areas, there was a struggle. And it wasn't about 3 years after I got saved, I finally made the decision to let God have my life, to let him go to work and begin changing areas. And but there was a period of time there, and I don't know for you, but you know, there was a time in my life when I was resistant to the Lord and when he wanted to do in my life. Here, we read of Isaiah. There doesn't say that there was any resistance on his part. He let the seraphim take this live, hot coal and place it on his lips. And that must have been painful, you know? But he allowed that to happen. And God will go to work on our lives and change our lives. It might be painful, but you know what? The end of it is that he will be able to use us. And God has a perfect purpose for us. But he cannot accomplish that in our lives in a great way like he wants to, unless we first allow him to begin going to work, like here in Isaiah's life. And a verse that illustrates that is 2 Timothy 2:21. The Bible says, if a man therefore purge himself or cleanse himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. And so we see here in this verse repeated the same principle in the Bible that God says, if we want God to use us, we must first give him our lives. Let him begin purging, cleansing, changing. We'll be a vessel unto honor. Instead of, as opposed to, a vessel of dishonor, a vessel that does not get used. If God wanted to choose who is going to use, would he use the dirty vessel or would he use the clean vessel? No doubt he would use the clean vessel. And if we want God to use us in a great way, we need to first give him those areas in our life that we're holding back from him. There's rooms in our life that have not yet been opened to the Holy Spirit that he wants to fill. God wants to control your life. And there's areas that we still have not given to him. And none of us have arrived. And there's still areas that God wants in our areas. God still wants more of us. In order for him to have more of us, we need to yield those areas to him. Amen? And the third area we're going to talk about today, each area, it goes hand in hand with the next area. But this area here we're going to talk about is very important in our lives. It's the communication between God here and his prophet, Isaiah, and allowing him or permitting him to speak for God because he was communicating with God. In verse 8, the Bible says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." And because there was this communication back and forth between Isaiah and God, it permitted him to speak on God's behalf to the people. He had to hear word for word from God before he was ever able to go out and tell the people, thus saith the Lord. He had to hear from God himself. He had to be God's conduit. And same with us. If we expect to be effective in serving the Lord, we must first have that time with him where we spend time with headquarters, with our king, before we go out to be his ambassadors. We need to first have that time with the Lord. And we dare not go out in our own power, in our own strength, in our own name. We're going out in his name. And we need his power. We need his strength for every day. Who knows who the Lord may put in your path today? But have you spent time with the Lord himself today? To be God's ambassador today, have you spent that time yet with him today? And let me say that for me, I found it to be so that when I leave God out in my day, I find that those days are the worst days. When I leave him out of my schedule, when I let other things squeeze him out of my schedule, when he wants that special time with me every day and I squeeze him out somehow with other things, with things less important, and I find that day to be one of the worst days. But when we spend time with our Father, when we take time out of each day, section out time for each day where we commit that time to God, that we're going to spend quiet time with him and let him speak to our hearts, to spend enough time to where he can actually speak to our hearts, and then also spending time to pray back to him, to talk to him. And God wants to hear from us, and that was one of the first things after I got saved. I realized I could pray now and God could hear me, because I realized before I got saved, my prayers were shut out because I needed the blood of Jesus and I needed to be saved. But after I got saved, I was like, wow, I can pray now to God and he can hear me and he will hear us. When we come to God, you know, to spend time with him, we also need to take that time to talk to our Father, to let him know about things that are going on in our lives that he knows about, but he wants us to take it to him. He's not going to answer our prayers just by us thinking. God wants to hear it from our mouths. God wants to take time and spend with us. You spend time with your family every day, but how much time do you spend with your Heavenly Father? You know what? That relationship is more important, because actually, when you spend time with your Heavenly Father, you find out your relationships this way go better. And I found it so as well. But that's the third area. And then our last area today that we're going to talk about, this area of service. I know that God saved us not to sit in a pew and sit only, because I know it's good to go to church, but also to serve. God didn't save us just to sit in a pew and fill up 12 inches in a pew. God saved us to go out and serve. You know what? The Bible says that the laborers, the harvest is plenteous, truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. And God is still looking around. He's looking for people to stand up in our churches and to volunteer themselves. There's a great work that needs to be done out there. There's a great harvest out there of souls, people that need the Lord. There's people out there that would get saved if someone would go tell them. I know there's people out there that may not be open, but there are people out there that would get saved if someone would just take the message to them. They're ready to harvest, but the laborers are few. He said in verse 8, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And God's still saying the same thing today. He's saying it in our churches. He's saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And Isaiah heard him speaking. He heard the voice of the Lord. And I wonder, in this church today, you know, can you say that you've heard the voice of the Lord, that you have saw the need? You heard that God needed laborers, and you said what Isaiah said, "Here am I." Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord. When's the last time you heard the voice of the Lord? I know that there's been times in my life that I can point back to a message that was preached, or a time that I spent with the Lord in my quiet time that God just spoke clearly and told me something that I needed to do. And it was times during those that he was working in my heart to be a missionary to Panama. But if I wasn't listening, if I didn't hear the voice of the Lord, you know what? I wouldn't be up here today. But are you hearing the voice of the Lord? Have you heard his voice lately? He speaks in that still small voice. And if we're listening, we can be in church today but not be listening. But if we're listening, God will speak. And if we have that hunger and that desire to hear from him, you know what? Thank you for coming to church this morning. Hopefully you came to church to hear the voice of the Lord. Hopefully you came to hear his word that preached this morning so that you could meet with the Lord today in church. And he said, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? He wasn't saying, Isaiah, go for me. He was saying, who? Whom? He was in a general way, he was just calling out. And God is doing the same thing today. It's almost like God is having a hard time finding somebody. He said, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And it's almost like God's doing the same thing today. He's not looking for the most talented, the most, the best looking. He's not looking for the most intelligent one out there. There is one qualification God's looking for sure, that I know of. It's that qualification, that attribute is availability. And if we'll just be available, if we'll just say, here am I, like Isaiah did, he stepped up, he said, then said I, here am I. Here am I, God, I'm here. If you can use me, send me. And you know what? There is a great need out there. God is expecting us to hear the voice. Amen. God is expecting us to see the need and to step up and volunteer. He's not going to come looking for us or twist our arm. God is waiting for us to step up, to see the need, and to take the initiative like Isaiah did. For me, it was, like I said, about that 3-year mark after I got saved when I finally gave my life to the Lord. And whatever that meant, I just wanted to give my life to the Lord. And we were talking about this in Sunday school. One of the people that, the greatest people in history, I guess, that got my attention and inspired me was William Borden. And there's some a saying that he has. He said, no reserves, no retreats, no regrets. And he gave his life to the Lord. And he said, no reserves. He wasn't holding back anything. And Isaiah wasn't holding back anything. He didn't come with stipulations and ideas of what he wanted the Lord to do with him. He just came to the Lord and said, here am I. Use me, send me. Whatever that may have been to him, he just said, here am I. And I did the same thing. I said, here am I, Lord. I want to do your will, whatever it may be. And I made that decision. And there was a message I heard that God got my attention, and I made that decision. I gave my life to the Lord. And there's another verse in the scripture that I like. It says that they first gave themselves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. And we first need to give ourselves to the Lord. Whatever it may be, we need to give ourselves to the Lord and trust him that he knows best. Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. And I hope that we have that same spirit of to be a volunteer for God. And Isaiah did. But then in verse 9, God said, go. He said, go in verse 9. And then also, have we not been given the Great Commission already when he said, go ye and teach all nations? He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That was to us. Go ye means go ye, plural. And that included all of us. And it's all our jobs to go, to give the gospel out, to get the world the gospel. It's our job. It's not, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. The devil is trying to keep them lost. But our job is to get them saved, get them under the sound of the gospel to where they can get saved. And will you be of those that say, here am I, send me? Have you already given your life to the Lord in surrender, in complete surrender? Like Isaiah did here, have you given your life yet to the Lord? He knows what's best. Like I said, there is a perfect will of God, and it's for each and every one of us, and it's specific, tailor-made for each one of us. And if you want to discover what that is, just begin doing God's will. Begin doing what the Bible says, and give your life to the Lord. Let him have control of your life. He has better plans than you could ever think up, ever dream up. God has plans for you. And you don't want to get, stand before the Lord and find out you missed it. Find out you missed the plan of God for your life because you never actually gave your life to the Lord. You kept it back from the Lord, and you had your plans and you had your schedule and you had your future planned out for you. And instead, the Lord had a future for you that was totally different. You don't want to do that. And so we need to give our life to the Lord. And Romans 12, verse 1. And to the Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, those of us who are saved by the mercies of God, because of all that God's done for you up to this point, if he didn't do anything else for me except save my soul, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies, because of what he's done for you, that ye present your bodies.
Amen.
A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then it says, and be not conformed to this world. Don't be like this world. We are supposed to be completely different from this world. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove, or that ye may experience, what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. But it first started with, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies, that you give yourselves first to the Lord. And will you give yourself to the Lord if you haven't already? This morning, give yourself to the Lord if you haven't already. Make that decision like I did, like Isaiah did here. He said, here am I, send me. I'll go. If you can use me, God, here am I. And not only for his program here at this church, but there's a lot of people under my voice right now, but even people watching right now. But you know what? God's still calling out missionaries today, and he's saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And he's waiting on us, isn't he? I mean, I don't believe that there is enough missionaries out there. I believe that God probably still needs some more missionaries. And he's still calling missionaries today. And if there's one out there, I'm not sure who's listening to me, but if God's speaking to your heart about missions, like he did for my heart, you know what? It's that faith that you need to believe that God can use you to. God will just use you if you're available. If, you know, he's got his call on your life and he's speaking to your heart, I wouldn't resist that. I would believe the Lord and trust in that he could use you. He could use even me. He can use you if he can use me. And I just wanted to encourage you today that hopefully you have already given your life to the Lord, and that's a blessing. Just keep on serving the Lord. Keep on, like the Bible says, always abounding in the work of the Lord.
Amen.
And thank you for your attention this morning, and God bless you.
Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you. God, as we call in your name, help us to examine ourselves right now, dear Lord, because we need you. We need you. And you've said you will use us. With heads bowed, please, and eyes closed, let me ask a couple questions in light of Brother Sherrod shared with us. Have you ever received Christ as your Savior? Do you know you can do that right here, right now? You don't need to wait. You can do it right there in your seat. Maybe online as you're watching. You can call on Christ right now. Maybe you need some help. I'd like to pray with you about that. My prayer cannot save anybody. But your call on Christ and faith in him is what brings salvation to your life. Is there someone here this morning who would say, Pastor, please remember me when you close in prayer in just a minute. Would you remember me? I'm not going to mention any names when we do. Would you remember me? I need to know Jesus as my Savior, and I'd like to do that today. Would you remember me when you do? Here's how I know you're serious about that. If you would just put your hand up and put it right back down. That helps me to know that there's a need for salvation with us we need to pray about. Question number two. Head still bowed, please. Eyes still closed. Christian friend, can I ask you this morning? Have you ever said to the Lord, here am I, here am I? That's the first thing to say when God says, I need you to do something. And then say, send me, send me. Is God speaking to you about a need that you know about? You know it. You know who it is. You know what the need is. And you need to just say, here am I. Pastor, I'm born again. There's no doubt about it. And God's speaking to me. I need to make a decision for him today. Would you remember me when you close? If you're born again and that's you, would you raise your hand? And I'd like to pray with you about that this morning. Amen. Yes, I'll pray. I want to say to the Lord, here am I. I want to do it his will. And I know something specific he's calling and talking to me about. Amen. Yes, I'll pray. I'll pray. I see you here. Yes, I'll pray. Who else? I'm born again. I know the Lord. And he's asking me to do something. Would you remember me when you close? I want to commit that part of my Christian life to him. Would you remember me? Anyone else like that? Father, we love you. Thank you. Thank you for the message this morning, Lord, and help us to be Christians who every day come before you saying, here am I. But some of us specifically, Lord, you've got a specific task for us to do. You've called us to do it. Now, God, as we give that time, that effort over to you, would you please use us, Lord? Use us to reach another person for Jesus, whether to bring them to salvation or help them in their Christian walk or just simply to obey you. God, would you show us even now as we close out our day in this morning? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. I'm going to ask you to stand. There is